All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, we have quite the fight coming up at BKFC 23, Richmond versus Rickles. It is the co-feature bout and goes down on April the 8th. We have Jared Warren and Isaac Doolittle knuckling up and towing the line, and happy to be talking to Isaac once again. How's your day going so far there, man?
Can't complain. It's a little cloudy here, but all's good.
I was going to say, is it the kind of day to enjoy those hot ciders you like, or maybe not so much because you're getting closer to a fight?
Oh, yeah, I had one today, but now I've got to fix my shop up, so it's going to be, I'll need a couple of those.
Yeah, I mean, you always have a lot of different things on the go from what I've seen, too, man. Like, what's the, I guess, latest with the, you know, educational pursuits there and stuff like that? It seemed like you were getting pretty heavy with the schooling there last time we were talking. Like, what's the status with that?
Oh, no, I graduated. I'm not going back for my master's for a little bit. I've had a little bit too much schooling recently.
Yeah, just like the focusing purely on the combat sports pursuits and then maybe, you know, revisit the schooling at like a later point. Is that the just tentative timeline, I guess?
Yeah, I started two businesses, so I'm trying to get them up and running. And, well, then there's fighting and technically three businesses, and then there's fighting, so it keeps me busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are these business endeavors you find you're getting, like, deeper into as of late?
Oddly enough, they're most of my sponsors. I've got Jekyll and Hyde Soap Co. and Vinandi Beard Co., and then I run a personal massage business, so.
Well, it's awesome. It all sounds oriented to, like, stuff you're interested in and passionate with and seems to tie into what you're doing there. So I imagine there's, you know, a busy lifestyle but a good balance between those things, I would think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's great to hear, man. And I'm just kind of curious with this one here, too, because at one point I was seeing that there was that, you know, BYB title fight with Joey Angelo on the table there and everything like that, you know, now kind of back to the, you know, BKFC fold and stuff like that. Like, why did that BYB title fight not end up, you know, panning out there, that 185 title fight there?
So that was an interesting endeavor. They gave us a call and... since I was getting yanked around by BKFC, I decided, well, they're going to give me a title shot. I'll go with it since Jomie went over to BKFC. And they offered me a contract, and I agreed verbally to fight Joey Angelo. And then BKFC, as soon as they started using the promo, we hadn't signed any contracts. As soon as they started putting my face on promos, BKFC got into tiffy because they were coming back to Wichita and they wanted me to fight. And they told us that Joey had not one but two contracts with the BKFC that he had signed, and those have no compete clause in them. So he was in a bit of a tangle, and I already verbally agreed to fight Joey, and I told the organization that if I can fight Joey for the title, I will sign the contract because I already agreed. I'm a man of my word. But if not, I'm going to go with BKFC. They're currently offering me more money. They're offering me in an open card scoring state. All the things that I kind of want and need. And they could not settle on giving me Joey as my opponent. So I'm not going to sign up for an unknown opponent at this high in the game.
Yeah, you talk about the importance of the open scoring in there, though. Is that something you've really wanted to have kind of interwoven in combat sports for a while? Because in most sports, it's like you have a running count of where, you know, each sides of this situation are at, but not a thing in combat sports. So, like, how much is the open scoring something you would really like to be a part of? It seems like it's pretty big for you.
Oh, that's huge. I have been in so many fights with hometown heroes, and I have absolutely dominated them every single round, and then it goes to the judges, and I've lost unanimous decision. How? I was on mount just destroying this guy. How did I lose any round, let alone all of the rounds? So open scoring, it's kind of nice, because you can see it as you go. Okay, I need to pick up the pace. Okay, I'm safe. You can game plan off of it, and it's a lot harder to pull the wool over people's eyes.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like you've been in certain positions like that in a few of your fights, just also even in the context of like being kind of in that like underdog sort of role there. So yeah, I mean, you definitely want there to be that even playing field there, because I imagine there's been a couple times where you've been having quizzical reactions to some of the decisions, I guess.
Oh yeah, with Boss Hogg, the last round we knew we were safe. So I'd already taken a lot of body damage, so we stayed on the outside. For Jay Jackson, we knew it could possibly go to a decision. I could lose if I got knocked down, but I could win the whole thing if I actually came out strong. So I came out like a bat out of hell in the fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to see that even playing field there for sure. But, I mean, with that BYB situation, just kind of briefly going back to that, I mean, when we were talking last, you were saying that, like, one of your big goals for the calendar year was, you know, getting a title shot at 185 pounds. Like, was it kind of a deflating thing, that situation didn't pan out, or is it now just pivoting the focus to a 185-pound title shot within BKFC or something within that weight range a bit?
It was a little deflating. At the end of the day, I'm in this to have fun. If I get the title, cool. If not, I'm here to enjoy the wars that I have and a lot of the guys that I've fought. I don't think there's been any that I've fought that haven't been absolutely exceptional. So I'm here to have fun. And when I can do it in my home state under open scoring, and I just enjoy it. There's no point in traveling. There's no point in getting out of my backyard until somebody gives me a reason to. The belt's nice, but BKFC is just a little bit bigger.
And we were just talking about how sometimes you're like the away player and stuff like that. Like, are you feeling, I guess, I mean, obviously you're motivated in general, but is there like an extra emboldenment here just knowing you're going to be like the partisan favorite when you compete?
Actually, no, it's a little more nerve-wracking. I like being the underdog that nobody likes, because then if you lose, you lost. Everybody thought you were going to lose, but if you win, you'd do the upset.
I think there's a fair bit of like parody within the fight itself, though, so does that kind of like stymie those feelings a little bit? Like, I imagine this one would be, I mean, I haven't like checked the odds necessarily, but I would think it would be pretty close to like even money, just considering you guys are ranked like pretty high within the top five there.
Oh yeah. It was that Boss Hogg was supposed to steamroll me, then Jay Jackson was supposed to steamroll me. We're talking about Captain Concussion here. He's already had three first-round knockouts. Dude's an absolute monster. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of people thinking he's just going to drop me in the first round.
And again, just with like the rankings considered, like maybe not the next crack at the title per se, but I imagine the winner of this would be positioned quite favorably for maybe like even a subsequent, you know, title opportunity after whoever Lorenzo Hunt is going to be competing against there.
Yeah, he's going up against Riggs, so I'm assuming the winner of this is going to go up against him next.
Yeah, I imagine that excites you a fair bit for sure, but I would also think getting to, you know, share another card spot with Jessica Link would be fun as well. Just, you know, is there a compounding sense of like when you're, you know, sharing different spots on these cards, like with your girlfriend, like is there a learning curve to it where you just develop a greater comfortability with it with each subsequent time? Like, how does that kind of inform both of your performances? Like, what are your thoughts on that dynamic?
Oh no, I don't like it in the slightest. Now I can see why people were like, "Oh, you be safe out there. I don't want to watch you fight." I used to for the longest time. No, I'm durable. I'll be fine. And then I watch her getting punched. Nope. I will watch the replay. I'm gonna be hiding in the back, warming up. I don't need to see that. She doesn't exist until when I go in for the fight. She doesn't exist until after I get done.
Yeah, maybe more something to chop it up about after the fight when the dust has settled, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've already got enough stress on me. I don't need to be adding anymore.
No, that's fair though, man. And we've kind of talked in past about some of the, you know, preparation methodology, just like sparring with the MMA gloves and like big gloves for like keeping the shoulders strong and just different things like that. But like as far as like, I guess, regular sparring partners you're working with, like who do you mostly train with there? Because I imagine it's a curious thing to like curate a bare knuckle camp, just the obvious issues with like drilling that in a sparring sense. But I mean, you're an experienced guy in this space now, so what does a camp look like, and how do you kind of curate it in the context of sparring partners and all that?
Well, with our sparring partners, we were fortunate enough to find a boxing gym nearby, and they've got a big heavyweight. I think he's a 240 pounder, and he's a good southpaw, so he's been thumping me quite religiously for a couple weeks. I do enjoy him. He's big, long, composed, so he's gonna he he's got a little more weight on him than Jared Warren, but Jared Warren's also got a lot more experience on him. So I think it's an okay give and take.
Yeah, for sure. And just, you know, looking like a great card here, and like relatively early on in the calendar year, at least there are certain strength of schedule you're looking to have throughout 2022, like an ideal amount of bouts or anything?
Well, with the mishaps from last year, we're hoping to at least do two or three. That'd be nice, getting back in after my injury with my knee. So
yeah, and how has that all been, just like with the rehabilitation efforts there and stuff like that? Because I pretty remarkably, the last time you were out there was, you know, a lot of, you know, dealing with that, and just, you know, it being the full ACL tear, but just like your musculature kind of kept everything together. Like, how's the wheel feeling nowadays?
I mean, it's better than it was. It's not as, I can't say it's 100%, but I don't think it will ever be 100%. Yeah, last fight camp was a disaster between the torn shoulder and the blown out knee. It was interesting, to say the least.
But it seems like that kind of stuff, like your, I guess, mental fortitude is what kind of gets you through that and pushes you through. And also, I mean, the like diligent effort with training and just preparing your muscles for that kind of thing. But how much of your mindset is like an attribute that really pushes you through a lot of that? Like, how much of your, I guess, mindset is like an attribute in your fighting?
Well, I compete terribly. I train a lot better than I do ever competing. So I try to train at a higher level. And it's just, I've always been a workhorse. That's what I'm best at. That's what I stick to. So I train at 100% and probably compete at about 85. I just hope that my 85 is at least on par or higher than their 100%. There are some guys who can go in and they just got a different gear for competition. Caveman Rickles is one of those. I'll see him training and it's just kind of lackadaisical, and then all of a sudden he'll just destroy people in the ring. Just absolutely destroy them. I've never seen that in sparring. But he's got a whole nother gear for competition. I'm not one of those people.
And you mentioned Dave Rickles there headlining this card here that you're going to be on. Have you guys had any like direct work with each other, or are you more just speaking to like past instances of like seeing him train more so?
I've trained with him for a very long time. He used to come over to the gym in Manhattan when he was in Bellator, and I was the guy they threw out to be the punching bag that tired him out before I knew how to throw punches. So I've seen him compete for a very long time, and I've helped him train for fights.
Yeah, is there maybe going to be a post-fight celebration with him and Jessica Link, maybe? Or, like, what do you think about that?
Possibly, if we're up for it. But the amount of damage that people take in BKFC, we might all just want to go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair. And kind of to that point, it seemed like when you were getting ready to fight Jay Jackson, there was, like, a lot of motivation in the sense of getting to fight an action-heavy fighter, like someone who's going to indulge putting on an entertaining, like, high-octane sort of fight there. And based on some of the previous comments from this conversation, it would seem like you see this Jared Warren fight as a similar matchup. Is that a fair characterization, just in the context of it being like this high octane kind of fight where you're readying for like a hard-nosed kind of night?
Oh yeah, I'm hoping to put him away in the first three, but I'm ready to go all five, and that's been the case. It's kind of the unstoppable force meets the immovable object, so we'll see who wins that age-old question.
Yeah, that old Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan kind of adage. Were you like a pro wrestling fan when you were younger, or not so much?
Not so much. I actually don't pay attention much to sports, and it gets me in trouble sometimes.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, you like what you like. You pay attention to what you pay attention to. Just kind of thought to ask, because that was old, the old Gorilla Monsoon tagline from back in the day there. But yeah, man, it's always fun getting to talk to you. And like I was kind of saying a bit earlier, do want to be mindful of what I imagine is a busy schedule. So is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping things up here, Isaac?
Just shout out to all the people who have supported me, to my coach Marcus Barrett, to my girlfriend Jessica Link, all the people who have been with me, all my sponsors, so on and so forth. Yeah,
for sure. Some great shout outs there, and a great looking fight at BKFC 23, the co-feature for April the 8th, Jared Warren and Isaac Doolittle knuckling up and towing the line in what looks to be a very high stakes fight and could very much inform the title picture for the calendar year. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Always fun getting to chop it up a little bit. And yeah, just best of luck with the rest of the prep here, and looking forward to checking out the fight too.
Well, thank you, sir. We aim to put on a show.